Hebrews chapter 12. Finished up with verse 24 last week, speaking about Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling speaketh better things than that of Abel. And again, the covenant and the New Testament are two distinctly different things. The new covenant has to do with Israel. The New Testament has to do with we Gentiles. Verse 25, he says, see the truth, you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Don't refuse. Go back to Hebrews 2 for a second. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken to by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Don't refuse. Don't neglect, he says. Don't turn away. Again, as we think about this in the context of the tribulation dispensation, people can turn away, and we'll get into this a little bit in the next chapter as well. But there's a, it doesn't matter what we do, we're saved for eternity. But that's not true during the tribulation. It's not been true in other dispensations as well. People could turn away, or as we see in the next chapter, could depart from God. Let's look at a few verses. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32, verse 15. Numbers 32:15, for if we turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. A judgment that results from turning away. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 17. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither you passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Don't turn away, he says to the people of Israel in the wilderness, getting ready to go into the promised land. Joshua 22. Joshua 22 and verse 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that we have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye builded you an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? They turned away from God and turned to other gods, began to build altars to the worship of those other gods. 2 Chronicles, verse 7. Solomon is dedicating the temple here. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 19. But if you turn away, well, let me back up just a little bit. It says, verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So this is establishing the temple as a place of worship, as God's going to place his name there. And I believe that in Solomon's day, as David turned the kingdom over to him, they were the world power. They were right with God. And Solomon had the opportunity to bring in the kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ, during his lifetime, if he had been faithful. And so God is, I've done this, I'm establishing my name there. This is my place, I've chosen this. Verse 17, and as for thee, if thou walk before me as David thy father walked, notice that condition, if you do this, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, watch this, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. There will not, if Solomon were faithful, there would have not failed to be a king of Israel ruling in Jerusalem. That was the promise. Establishing the Davidic throne for eternity. That was the opportunity that Solomon had before him. If he continued to walk. Verse 19. But this is what happened. If you turn away and forsake my statutes and my judgments which I have had before you, and will go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and I'll make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high and shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this upon them. They turned away, and they missed it. Proverbs chapter 1. Yes.
Do you think the Jewish people realize this today? Are they so
blind? No. Many of them aren't even looking for the return of the throne of David. They don't want the sacrifices reinstated. Now, I suppose if you get with some of the very strict sects of them, maybe they have that desire, but I've talked to some and most of them don't even want the sacrifices. So what do we need that for? But they're blind. They're completely unaware of what they forfeited and what's available to them if they come back to him. Proverbs, any other questions or comments? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 32. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now let's go back to Hebrews, and let's start in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We read verse 3 already, but let's go ahead and read verses 1 to 3 now. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, I've used this passage of Scripture a lot, implying to us. But doctrinally, the idea is, man, you better hang on to this, lest you find yourself in the same state as the people of Israel did in Solomon's day, or the people of Israel did after conquering the land. And under the time of Judges, they turned away and God dealt with them. They came back, but then they turned away and back and away 13 times throughout the book of Judges. He says, give heed. The more earnest heed to the things which you've heard, lest at a time you should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels is steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now that reward is not a positive thing, that's a negative, it's a judgment. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So, he's writing in the first century after the crucifixion. So that's now in play, but they can't turn away from it because they don't have eternal security like we've got. Chapter 3, Hebrews 3 and verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And just like it was with Israel of old, so it will be with Israel in the tribulation. Hebrews 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, so suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Don't turn away, or you'll lose it. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, yes, Paul's writing to the church during the church age as he's writing this thing. But he gives this warning for when? The last days. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So Paul's got Hebrews in mind, the tribulation in mind, when Jesus Christ appears at the end of it to judge the quick and the dead in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, yes, primarily this applies to our time today. You know, as we spoke about it this morning, people don't want to hear doctrine. They want to be entertained. They don't want to be fed. They want the fluff and the candy, not the meat of the Word of God. You know, teachers having itching ears. But it also applies to tribulation. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's like Paul's got both things in mind as he's writing this, having already written Hebrews. Because this is one of the last books that he wrote, 2 Timothy. Because he says, I'm ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand, and so forth. So he's got, it seems like he's got both things in view, as he does throughout Hebrews. Don't turn away, he says. Any questions or comments on any of that? Back to Hebrews 12, verse 26. So you don't refuse, because you're not going to escape those that refuse, verse 25, if you turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. I think last week we talked about that, the Sinai and all that was taking place as God was giving the law, so much so that the people said, oh, don't talk to us anymore. You speak to us through Moses. Moses, you go on up and get the message, but we don't want to see that again. That voice shook the earth, the thunders and the lightnings and the fire and the smoke and all that was taking place there as they were receiving the commandments. So his voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Well, that's 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at that, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. We said the shaking is going to reach to heaven. And with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. It's all going to be destroyed. Explosions and just a shaking. Reaching unto heaven, he says. Verse 27. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken remain. Everything that can be shaken will be and destroyed. That's going to include people who turn away. They're shaken. And only that which can remain will remain. Only that which can't be shaken is going to remain. It's going to be a purifying. And when you think of 1 John chapter 2 in light of that, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. That's works that John is preaching about. Those things that can't be shaken are all that's going to remain. Verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven aren't affected by this. There are things that remain that cannot be shaken. He says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The kingdom which shall endure forever and forever, with a king who will reign over that kingdom forever and ever, which was first promised to David and passed on to Solomon, if he didn't turn away. But he multiplied horses unto himself, he multiplied wives unto himself, who turned his heart away from God. And he lost it all. And so did his people, because he turned away. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It remains. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It remains. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2 and verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting kingdom which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And then Luke chapter 1, as Jesus Christ was brought to the tabernacle, or the temple, for dedication and for circumcision. And Simeon and Anna met him there. Luke chapter 1 and verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is what he said as he's holding that child up in the temple, brought in there 8 days old. The kingdom that will never end. He says, let us have grace to serve God acceptably. Don't fail of the grace of God. Come boldly, as it says in Hebrews 4, to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you do not turn away. The message for those people in the tribulation period, to serve him with reverence and godly fear. People say, well, the fear of God is not really being afraid of God. It's a holy reverence. Well, Hebrews distinguish between reverence and godly fear. We are to serve God with reverence, but he said we're also to serve him with godly fear. And when you put it in the proper doctrinal context, it even adds more weight to that. Because if they turn away from God, they depart from him, they lay themselves open to God's judgment, destruction, and eternity in hell. Questions or comments? Hebrews 13. As the last chapter now we come to, and you know, I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I think you can kind of see his style and just even some of the phrases, but especially now in chapter 13, because if you look at all of his other writings, there's kind of the first where he's dealing with doctrinal issues, and then he kind of gets kind of more on a personal level with things. And that's exactly what he does here in chapter 13 of Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. That's distinctly Paul. That's a universal doctrine for all dispensations, and it applies here in this dispensation as well. He's admonishing, he's giving practical instruction, and these things cross dispensational lines. Brotherly love. A theme not limited to the church age. Look at John chapter 13. While Jesus was walking on the earth, he spoke of this. He said this in verse 34 of John chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A new commandment. And he says, this is the thing that's to separate you from everybody else. This is the thing that's to identify you with me, is having love one for another. Let brotherly love continue. John 15, verse 17. These things I command that ye love one another. The commandment. So I think there's a difference between the commandments of the Old Testament and the commandments of Jesus Christ. He said, love one another. This new commandment I give unto you. Look at Romans chapter 12. It was certainly a teaching prevalent throughout the writings of the New Testament to the church age saints. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Strive for that. Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and so forth. The first thing, though, love. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified yourselves and obeying the truths of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervent. That's the thing that sustains a church, is our love one for another. That's the thing that's going to sustain those believers through the tribulation, is the provoking one another to love and to good works. That encouragement, that help, that support that we give to one another because we love one another. Chapter 4, verse 8 of 1 Peter. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Fervent charity. Love another fervently, said earlier in this epistle. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Here's the dividing line. Here's the one that's what separates the evil from the good. The children of God and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Let's see, how far do I want to go here? Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Let brotherly love continue. Strive that we continue for that as well, but these believers are going to need that especially. Verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Hospitality. And certainly if we love the brethren, hospitality is going to follow through with that thing. But this is even strangers, he says. Probably the best example of this in the scriptures is Lot. Let's just jump over there to Genesis 19 for a moment. Look at that. Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. This is just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham has prayed that if there could find 10 righteous in the city, that the city would be spared. And so the angels have come now to see if they can find 10 righteous there. They didn't. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And these two plus another had already been with Abraham. And Abraham had entertained them. He had fed them. He'd taken care of them. And now Lot's doing the same. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now, I don't believe Lot recognize these as angels. It says he saw we called him my lords. He says, I'm your servant. But he says, just come in, stay the night, but then move on. Don't hang around, please. Go on, get out of here. Had he known they're angels, I don't think he would have responded like that. These were angels who appeared as men, as they do in everywhere in the scriptures. When, I can't think of the king's name, when he looked into the fire, he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there. He saw a fourth in the fire. He saw a man. It appeared to him as a man. Now he says, well, he appears like the Son of God, but still there's that appearance of a man that was there. Angels always appear as men. So that television show, was it Touched by an Angel? Bogus. You never find a female angel in the Bible. They're all men. As these appeared here. Verse 3, and he pressed them gently or greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And before dawn they lay down, and the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, encompassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. The people of Sodom recognized them only as men, not knowing they were angels. So Lot has entertained angels unaware. I believe that can happen today. It certainly will happen during the tribulation, because Paul says, "Be not forget to entertain strangers, for thereby some have." So it happened before this. Entertained angels unawares. You just got no idea who might present themselves at your door. Be hospitable, even if they're not angels. If they're brethren in Christ, they deserve it. Let's look at a few verses here. Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 13. He says, distributing, he's going through a list of things here in Romans 12. He says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Galatians chapter 6. Excuse me. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. There's no qualification in that. He says we ought to do good to everybody, even the unsaved. But, where did I go here? Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially our brethren in Christ, to do good unto them, to treat them hospitably. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Going through the qualifications of for a pastor, he says this, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Repeated in Titus when he goes over the qualifications there as well. A pastor needs to be hospitable towards other people, even strangers. I'm supposed to be an example to you, for you to follow. Chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5. As we deal with the qualifications for women that are to be brought into the church for their care, or widows, he says this, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers. One of the qualifications for a widow to be able to be cared for by the church, if there's nobody, no family left to take care of her, is that she has been hospitable to strangers. If she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And then 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, the Bible says in Acts, the one quote of Jesus Christ outside of the Gospels, Paul says, even Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And our experience, personally, Eileen and I, has been when you open your home to entertain other people, you get the greater blessing a lot of times out of that. I remember we had, when we were in Kansas, a stranger called me up. They were homeschoolers. They were traveling to Colorado. And I think they were from Michigan. Do you remember that, Elizabeth? Michigan or something like that, or Ohio. But they said what they were doing was they were contacting homeschoolers along the way and asking if they would put them up for the night. And so we said, sure. Total strangers. Didn't know anything about them other than they said they were homeschoolers, they were saved. You know, just from talking on the phone. And so we set up the time, and they came, and man, what a blessing that was. We hated to see them leave the next day. It's more blessed to give than receive. This is one of those things where you get the, though you're the giver, you get the greater blessing out of it usually. Using hospitality. Questions or comments? Anything? We'll hit one more verse. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. It says in Romans, weep with those, Romans 12:15, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. We're to be in fellowship with these people. To enter into this thing, he says, remember them. Now, I don't think this is just replying to any, you know, the people up in Center County Prison or Rockview or Benner. These are believers who have been persecuted for their faith, who have suffered for their faith. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12 and verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. To share, to enter into that thing. Look at Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. But look what the rest of the verse says. And so fulfill the law of Christ. There's another commandment. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Remember those that are in bonds and those that suffer as being yourselves in the body. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You know the best cure for self-pity is to help somebody else. We get down, we get depressed, we get all focused inward. And it just spirals us downward. When you start looking outward, and then you begin to see that, yeah, maybe my situation isn't the best, but man, there's people out there a whole lot worse off than me. You think of Darlene Rhodes, that woman, CEF in the hospital there in Pittsburgh after a semi T-boned them. Collapsed lung, broken ribs on both sides, some kind of spots in her brain, hemorrhaging and so forth, broken arm, I think a shoulder. Just a mess, man. Now, she's not one persecuted. She's not, they were just driving, but still. To suffer with them. It's going to be a long process, recovering from that thing. People going through all kinds of things. What can we do to minister to them to stop just looking inward only at my own problems? Jesus in Matthew 25 says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Paul's in prison writing this. It's one of the prison epistles. And he says to the Philippians, you visited me. You communicated with me, with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. They were the only ones for a time. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again under my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Because that's like a sacrifice to God, what you've done for me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Colossians 4, verse 18. I'm not sure if that's right. Oh, yeah. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies. I wonder if that shouldn't be. Yep, I read the wrong one. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's try that. Verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And then one more, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. For he had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Remember those in bonds as suffering with them. Any questions or comments? Let's pray. Father, we see these admonitions, and they apply as much to us, even more maybe in some ways today, than they do to these believers which will be facing the tribulation. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the needs of those around us. We so easily get looking inward. We get selfish. And we neglect the struggles and the trials of others around us. And we miss an opportunity to be lifted up out of our pits of despair by ministering to other people. Help us, God, to be sensitive. Help us, God, to look for ways to do just that in this coming week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.